Amar Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu said, when the Holy One gave the Torah, no bird screeched, no fowl flew, no ox bellowed, none of the angels flapped a wing. The seraphim did not say, holy, holy, holy. The sea did not roar. None of the creatures uttered a sound. And throughout the whole world, there was only a deafening silence. If there is in our world one powerful component of religious life and indeed of human life that is absent, it is silence. We have erased silence from every arena in which we had the power to push away the space of contemplation and of distance and of silence. Every store has music. Every car has a radio. Every walking person has an iPod. There is no more silence. And silence is gone for a very powerful and important reason. It's not because people like, without discrimination or thought, to be surrounded by noise. Just ask a parent. It's not that noise itself is welcome. It is that silence forces in upon us an exploration of self and of soul. To be silent is to be undistracted. To have silence around you means that you are forced to look inside. All of modern man's troubles, Pascal wrote, and this was already some 300 years ago, 400 years ago, stem from a person's inability to sit in a room alone. Well, were Pascal here today, we could tell him it's okay, we can sit in a room alone all the time. We have TiVo. We have a VCR. We have a flat screen TV. I sit in a room all alone. I just watch TV. Or I read the newspaper, or I do both simultaneously. While checking the running tab at the bottom of the screen. But there is no silence. Silence is not only what comes towards us, but also what comes out of us. The Vilna Gaon, one of the great spiritual and intellectual leaders of medieval Jewry, used to go for days fasting on words. Not on food, but on words. For days he wouldn't speak. I don't know if you saw recently the obituary of the English writer Alice Thomas Ellis, who, after having 7 children in her 40s, began to write novels. And in one of her novels, the one that was nominated for the Booker Prize, called The 27th Kingdom, she has a girl from a monastery come to a house. And the house is full of people with eccentric and powerful characters, but they're all overwhelmed by her because she almost never speaks. And silence, as a last century writer Chesterton put it, is the unbearable repartee. There is nothing to answer to silence. You can't win an argument with silence or against silence. But it has to be a silence not of anger and not of revenge. That's a childish silence. I'm not talking to you anymore. That's not a spiritual silence. It has to be a silence of self-containment, of knowing that actually nothing I say right now is so important as to break the silence. Because in that moment, in that silence, there is something powerful and even at times something sacred. I will pray to you in silence, says the psalmist. And at a time when we read about the sacrifices, which is what we do this morning in Vayikra, you may have noticed it is a famous anomaly in the text of the Bible that the first word Vayikra has a small aleph. And there are lots and lots of interpretations about why it is that in a uniform text, all of a sudden, one letter is little. But of course, aleph is also the first letter of the Ten Commandments, the first letter of the revelation at Sinai, and aleph is silent. The revelation begins in silence. Because when you feel someone's presence, you feel it differently before they begin to talk. You feel only their presence, not their words. And at those first moments at Sinai, Israel felt God's presence before they heard God's words. And of course, God's presence didn't disappear when Sinai was done. I wonder sometimes, as I find the only silent place in the world, which is, of course, inside your car, how many of the people who are driving alone in their cars have the radio off? Except for those that have the cell phone on. But it is actually a remarkable and almost unduplicable, that is, you can't do it again in any other place, opportunity to be silent and to have silence around you. There is a practice called hitbodedut, which means aloneness, that the Hasidim of Eastern Europe used to undertake, especially the Bratslav Hasidim, and they would go alone in a forest and be by themselves. Something that amidst the crowding and the noise is very difficult to do, and one of the things they sought was silence. If you have ever sat in a room with somebody, without making a sound, you know that different silences have different qualities. They're not the same. There are silences that express comfort and love and ease, where there are no words that need be spoken. There are silences that express unease, the uncertainty of what to say. And there are silences that express an elevation of spirit, that for a moment I am dwelling someplace where there are no words. It is a remarkable thing that if you read some of the great writers, they all speak about the inadequacy of words, how words aren't enough. And these are people who are masters of words. Emerson talks about words being like roasting an egg on a volcano. In other words, speaking is very trivial next to what is underneath all that speech. There is a volcano of feeling, of emotion, of ideas inside us, and all we can do is bring out these few words. How often have you said something to someone and realized that your words were betrayals as much as they were fulfillments, and it would have been truer had you been silent. There is a certain self-containment, a certain inner wholeness that is required to be able to be silent in moments of unease or uncertainty, when we have this impulse to talk and make it better, but we know that we don't really have the vital thing to say. Each Yom Kippur, we read the story from the Midrash of Ela Ezkara. Ela Ezkara is the story of the persecutions of Jews during Hadrianic times, and on this Shabbat Zachor, right before Purim, when we recall Amalek, it seems worthy to remember such events. It was after the revolt against the Romans, and a number of rabbis, as you know, were killed, and some tortured. And according to the Midrash, according to the rabbinic legend, when one rabbi, Rabbi Eleazar, was being tortured, God said, "If he cries out to me, I will destroy the world. I'm just waiting for an excuse." But he said nothing. And so the Midrash says that dying in silence, he saved the world. We always assume in our lives, and even in our relations in the world beyond us, that if we can find the right thing to say, everything will be okay. But sometimes it is finding the right thing not to say. It is understanding that if you are fortunate enough to be in the presence of someone else who feels the power of silence, that there are messages that it carries that cannot be spoken. There are silences of sadness. Vayidom Aharon, and Aharon was silent when he suffered that great loss in the Bible. There are silences of joy. But deeper than any are the silences that connect us to one another and to God. So I encourage you to listen in your lives for the silences, the small spaces in the busyness of the everyday, that allow a soul to flourish. For even amidst our tradition, which is a tradition of words, and a tradition of learning, and a tradition of song and speaking, the image of the prophet Zephaniah, when God speaks to Israel and talks about what will happen on the day the Messiah arrives, is simply this. God says to the people on that day, "I will be silent in love." And it is, of course, the silence of love that is the most eloquent silence of all. Shabbat Shalom.